immeasurable and unconditional. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm so happy you're here this morning. I'm so blessed, so honored and privileged to be in this spot. It is not my doing, and I'm aware of that. This is God allowing me to be here, and for that I am grateful until the day says that it's time for rest. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. If you're still looking, I'll give you another moment. I'd like you to see this. Chapter 3. I think it sounds like you're there. We're going to start in verse 17. This is about taking something off so that we can glory in His beauty. Verse 17 starts this way. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, verse 19, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Yes, I'm very sorry. How did you figure that out? Thank you for my wife. I looked at the top of the page on the left and it said 3. I just said it without looking at my notes. Very sorry. There's a part of us that has to do with our old self. And if you've never put on the new person, then this may be confusing. There's a part of us that still longs and we want the old way of life in our heart and in our mind. There are some people who have convinced themselves that they're never going to change. God can change you through His immeasurable love. Immeasurable. If you will just let Him take a cold, hard heart, melt that heart, reform it into a loving and forgiving heart. He can do that. But you have to submit to Him and let Him do it. Comes through accepting forgiveness and giving. God proved His immeasurable love to me on the cross of Calvary. That's what I believe. I believe in my heart of hearts, when I finally broke down and accepted that I wasn't God, that I wasn't in control of everything, when I finally looked at myself rightly in the mirror of life and said, you know, you need something other than what you are doing, because what you are doing is not leading you to happiness. I called upon God to help me again. What? It's a call to take off the old person and try to rid ourselves of that. That old person will try his best through Satan to remind you that you want that old life. I want it. I want it back. I want the smells. I want the sights. I want everything about it. I want it back. I was comfortable back there. I'm not comfortable over here. But you know also through the calling of the Holy Spirit that the new life smells better and tastes better and it is better. But sometimes we forget how blessed we are. And that's why I want to talk to you about His immeasurable. And I don't know if I'll get the unconditional this morning or not, because that takes a little more explaining than maybe I have time for this morning. You might think that there's a condition on God's love. No, that there's a condition on coming to Christ, and that is letting down and letting God handle you. That's the condition. But there's no condition for His love. His love is commended to you, toward you, and through you by His Holy Spirit. It's there for the taking if you will only take it. But you must not only take it, but do something else with it. And that's why I want to look at one of the parables with you this morning to get us talking about the right immeasurable, unconditional love of God. So if you would, and I'll check my Bible stats here this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. And I did say Matthew. The 18th chapter. To clarify this one more time before we move on. God's love is unconditional. But what you would do with it has a condition attached to it. The love of God is unconditional. It's there. It's there for the taking. And we're going to discover this through His Word this morning. Starting in verse 21, His disciple Peter came to Him and he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" So if somebody sins against you, Peter says, if they've sinned against you, how many times, Lord, should I forgive them? Seven? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." How many is that? 490 times. Have you taken the time to forgive any person in your life that did something against you 490 times? You know what I've discovered? I used to think that that was a lot, but it's not. Because I've been working on some things all of my life that happened when I was a youngster. Have you? Maybe in your adulthood, we have youngsters right here. Thank God, these teens are in the sanctuary. When somebody does something against you, do you hold it in your heart? Or do you fully forgive them and let it go? No response. See, I don't know what your response is to this, but I know what my response is. I have carried things with me in my life that I needed to let go years ago. Years and years and years ago. Let's read the rest of what Jesus says before we go on to the other parable. It says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." Do you know how much money that is? That would be equivalent to 60 million denarii. and one denarius was an average day's wage. One denarius was an average day wage. This was a debt impossible to repay, even 100 denarii, a small amount compared to the forgiven servant's debt. You got to understand these little facts sometimes to grab and understand the gravity of what's happening here in this parable. This servant that we're going to talk about here in a moment had committed fraud and deceit and stolen, however you want to look at it. He had piled up a debt that was physically impossible to repay ever, ever, ever. Man, it got me thinking about myself. Many times that I have not obeyed God. Many times that I should have done something and I didn't. The times that I should have forgiven other people and I didn't. When I looked in the mirror of life, I saw that I had a debt to other people and to God first and foremost that I could never on my own repay. I can't make compensation. Some of the people that I had trouble with in this life are dead and gone. Has that ever happened to any of you? Where you knew that you should have made restitution with them and for them, you should have gone to them and said something, and you just failed to do so, and then you found out later that they've passed on? See, the debt of unforgiveness is impossible for us to repay in this lifetime or any lifetime. Impossible for us on our own. Let's look at the rest of this. Talking to us about God's immeasurable love through the mirror of unforgiveness and sinfulness. Because God says that He is able, ready, willing, trustworthy, to forgive you regardless of what you have done and where you've been in any circumstance under the sun, as long as you are absolutely repentant and mean every word of it from your mouth and from your heart. Because what comes out of the mouth begins in the heart. And it can either be a lie in the heart or it can be the truth in the heart. Here's this story then. We'll go through the rest of it. Excuse me. Then we'll turn back to the book of Ephesians. Verse 24. When he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, now we understand why, because it's impossible. It's too huge of a debt. 60 million day wages. Right? 60 million. Can't repay it. So, he was not able to pay, and his master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The old master was going to sell the husband, wife, and kids. And a servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Again, impossible. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. God could have, at any time, turned this world and everything and everyone in it to vapor. Are you with me? He could have, at the wink of an eye, or the one word from his lips, or even the thought of his eternal holy mind, just said, the experiment's over, you're done. Mankind is no more, I'll make something else to worship me because they're not doing such a good job. But in his compassion, immeasurable love for us and grace sent His only Son. That's why it's called Amazing Grace. Because we, as a people, have sinned against God a billion, zillion, trillion, million times. Haven't we? Sent my kids a little song that I like from the 70s, 60s, and 70s. It's called In the Year 2525. Any of you heard the song? You download it sometime. Listen to it. One of my favorites. We have, as a people, been unworthy of God's grace. Now, I shouldn't say that in open church. I guess I shouldn't ever say that. I should just say me. I know that I have not been worthy of God's amazing grace in my life. Not me. I'm not worthy. But God saw something in me that allowed me to turn to Him and say, Lord, will You forgive me? And He did. And how many times has He forgiven me for the things that I've done or haven't done in this life? When you start talking about these things, to me at least, and I hope this is getting through to everyone, it's immeasurable. That's why I call God's love immeasurable. You can't put, there's no number on it. God said to Peter, just as an example, it's a big number. He said, forgive 70 times 7. 490 times, that's a big number. We all think it's a big number. I used to think it was a big number. But God wasn't meaning just 490 times, because if He did, I would be out of the forgiveness business. Because He's forgiven me a bunch more times than 490. How about you? God's love is immeasurable. When I start thinking about that, I weep. I weep thinking the number of times that God had to say, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. The problem is, with that unconditional, immeasurable love that we don't take the time and the effort to turn around and pass it forward, do we? Not always. Not always. Jesus gives us this parable to let us look in the mirror of life so that we can be reminded of who we are from time to time. So there He is. He says, the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Brand new, new beginning, life, start over. You are clear, you are free. This never happened. What about that? See those ads on TV about the IRS? They want you to call. This one guy's in debt. He owed him $87,000. You got the call and you listen to the call and says, and sir, you only owe $3,000. And he says, isn't that a wonderful call? How about I got a better call for you? You call God. You don't need an IRS agent or a former IRS agent. You just call God through the person of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. You get down on your knees, either literally or figuratively, and say, Lord, please forgive me, for I have sinned, and mean it from your heart. And you know what He says? You are forgiven. The debt is clear. It's clean. You have a new beginning, a new life. Put off the old man. Quit worrying about the old junk, as we read in Ephesians 4. Put off the old man, the off sinner. Let them go. Let that woman, let that man go. Young people, when you've done something wrong, if mom and dad say it's okay and you're forgiven, accept it. Don't hold it in your hearts. And moms and dads and sisters and brothers, if somebody's done something against you and if you have forgiven them, then forgive them for real. Let it go. For real. Because God says, I have forgiven your sins as far as the east is from the west. There isn't anything further than that. Nothing. There's nothing further than that. You can't get any further. He says, not only have I forgiven them, the best part of that scripture, I don't even know if I have it with me today, but you can look it up. He says, the best part of that scripture is not just forgiveness, forgets. He forgets. He puts it out of his mind totally. I told my girl something last night about Marilyn and I, and just a funny little thing. And my daughter said, too much information, too much information. I just want to get out of here. She doesn't want to remember it. I said, Mary Beth, that's not going to help. You got it. It's in there. Because we're the human. We still have some of the old hanging around, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 through 19. Immeasurable love. Incalculable love. We can't measure it. It's immeasurable. I can't get over that. The more I thought about this, the more humbled I became, thinking, what has He done for me? Every day. Every day is a new beginning with Him. Every moment of every day can be a new beginning. But what if this happens? Here's the rest of the story. Verse 28. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. This man had just been released from debtor's sin prison. He had just come from he and his wife and his children and all of his possessions being sold. And then he walked a step further, and the master forgave him of everything and gave him a brand new start in life. Said, it's all forgiven, it's done, it's over. I don't even remember it. We'll never talk about this again. That's what God wants you to know. When you come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He wants you to believe in your heart, we don't need, child, we don't need to talk about this ever again. Isn't that great? We don't even have to discuss this. What happens to us in the heat of arguments? Do we bring up things that happened 20, 30 years in the past? Huh? Do you remember what you said on Tuesday evening, right before Christmas? 45 years ago? At 5 o'clock, somehow we hang on to this junk, drag it along with us. It's so much baggage, so hard to carry. Christ says, when He forgives you, done. Oh, let's not talk about this anymore. What happened here? What happened to this man? You know what he didn't do? He didn't. What didn't he do? He didn't. Ephesians chapter 4. What didn't he do? He didn't take off the old clothes, did he? The three things that keep us in turmoil in this world, I say this over and over and over again, they have everything to do with everything that's wrong with us. It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're the three killers. You would have thought that this man would have looked straight at the person that owed him money and said, you know what? I've just been given the greatest gift in all the world. I have my family. I have my possessions. I am debt free. I have a brand new life. You know what, brother? You're forgiven. You don't owe me a thing. You know what he did? He grabbed him by the throat and tried to shake it out of him. Some religions say, unless you put everything you have into the money jar, then you can't be forgiven and you're not living for Christ. He doesn't say that. Come to me or bent knee. Come to me and ask for forgiveness and you'll be forgiven. So this guy owed him money. In verse 29 says, so this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Hard way to end it, isn't it? But do you want fact or fiction? Do you want the truth or a lie? You only get the truth on Sunday morning because I can't say anything except what God's Word says. I'm not capable of it. I'm not qualified. It's above my pay grade. God's Word is the first and final answer in all my things. Just young people, you understand? I hope you understand what, just a little bit, get out of this what the meaning for this is. God was given eternal grace. Absolutely forgiven of everything. You see, then that's our job then, to forgive others. To walk in forgiveness. We make the world infinitely better place, not in the future, immediately if we do that. Immediately. God purposefully came to forgive us on purpose. And he says, all you need to do to have this unconditional love is just pass it forward. God's not a mean God. He's not an angry God. But he will take care of those who will not forgive others because none of them can live in the beauty and the sanctity of heaven with us who have asked for forgiveness. And I pray God I don't leave this life having an unforgiven heart. There's things that still prick my heart and I'm working on them. How about you? But I can't not let the sun go down without me asking God to help me with my forgiveness. Forgive me so that I can help forgive others. And when we do that, his love just shines. It gives people purpose. It gives them hope. When you free someone, when you say, you're forgiven, and I mean it, and we don't ever need to talk about this again. When you promise them, I will never bring that up again. But you got to mean it. So. Talk to your brother, your sister, young people. It starts with little things. When you're sitting here as a young adult, as a teenager, getting ready for life, you don't think any of this is critical, but it is. It is eternally critical. Because what happens is we start to learn. And if we learn to walk in unforgiveness, we carry it forth throughout the rest of our life. Right? We start this pursuit of unforgiveness. I'm not gonna whole families, I'm not gonna do this. I wouldn't step foot in that place with them because they're there. I've said it myself. We pastored a church north of here, about 7 miles from here, for 5 years. And it was wonderful. Right? When we left, they gave us this big book and how great it was. And it was a beautiful experience. It was. It was our 23rd song. Because for 5 years, we had nothing but still waters, green pastures. Not one argument. And it grew. But not the way it should have grown, because it was unforgiveness in that valley. And if they were all here this morning, I would tell them that. In fact, I did tell them that. I told them that a lot of times. I would do a funeral for someone, and we'd be at the viewing, and lots of people, maybe hundreds would come up to Maryland, and I say, we hear this going really well at Center Valley. It's good work there. Well, thank you very much. To God be the glory. Why don't you? And they would, you know what they'd say? We're members there. Really? I've been here 5 years. I've never seen you. Which you don't say it like that because you won't see them again ever. You say, well, you are. I didn't realize that. Why don't you come and, you know, rejoin the fellowship? Oh, I can't. Why not? Well, because my granddad said he'd never set foot in a church again, and I'm not either. Well, what was the argument about? Well, we don't know. I don't remember. But we're not going to set foot in that church. As if that building had something to do with somebody trespassing against somebody else. But they had made an oath, and I'll tell you, your Bible says something about that. They had taken an oath, I'll never set foot in that place again. I believe some of them even stomped their feet. We're done for the day because we can't even get to the unconditional part of it to clarify it. But God's love for me is immeasurable. The amount of times that He has let me be renewed and renewed my spirit, I can't count. If I was counting, I probably couldn't count that high of numbers. So turn with me back, if you would, please. And now we're going to go back into the book of Ephesians. We will end this little discussion for the day. I pray that your journey through communion this morning, all things that have been done here this morning, will help us all. I just can see this brilliant light of Christ as we would walk in forgiveness one another, changing our homes, our families, and our community immediately. It could happen, but it takes an effort. Now I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now. Starting in verse 14. This is our prayer. And I hope you will accept this as our prayer today. We don't have to pray the same way, stand the same way, do the same thing ever, ever, ever. This is our prayer. Next week, 2 weeks from now, we'll have our missionary here, as I mentioned before, and she's dealing with young girls who have been so wrongfully treated that it's beyond my comprehension how they could ever walk in forgiveness. You know what? Through the grace of Jesus Christ alone. It's unbelievable the cure that's happened in them through Jesus. Things that have been done against these young women, I would never even mention. I would never verbalize in God's house. But they have somehow seen the love because they've been taken in and rescued from that old world, that old man. Remember Ephesians chapter 4? They've been taken in and they've been rescued and they've been loved and they've been nurtured and they've been given comfort, peace, safety in their lives. Some of them, not all of them, some of their lives have turned around. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about some people who will never forget. And that's their burden. Well, their burden. There are some who will put off the old person and walk in forgiveness because they have been forgiven. Here's our prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 10. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of God's love. Just take a little trip and get in the mirror of life and take a little look around. If you are one of the forgiven, please pass it forward. Not impossible. It is possible, not through your works, but through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for celebrating communion with us. Thank you for those of you who are journeying with us to Arcadia this afternoon. Thank the teachers, all those who have contributed so much to the work of this church, the trustees, the deacons, the ladies ministering this church. It's remarkable. Thank you so much, ladies, for the work you are doing. It's remarkable. The visitation, the meals, the outpouring of love, it's amazing. Thank you for that. Thank you. We have Veterans Day coming up. Thank you for those who have served to make it possible for me to stand here in this holy spot and speak and teach the word of Jesus Christ. We have a World War II veteran, on the few remaining in our midst. George is not feeling the best in basketball prayer. We have a Korean War era veteran right here. Okay. We have Vietnam veterans here. We have those who have served in Afghanistan and their families, Iraq. Dan right now is serving far away from home. Thank God for those people in their lives. They can be shot at and still live a holy life. Understand this? These people, maybe they weren't in battle. This one was. But maybe some of these veterans were not in battle, but they all agreed to go if called. So all have given some and some gave all, right? And Christ, most importantly, gave everything for us. His body and his blood to allow us to be saved. Thank you all for being here. God bless you, keep you. Walk in the forgiveness of immeasurable love. Joe, come and lead us in the hymn. I'm closing hymn. Thank you so much. This is an easy one. Screen's up. Going to be up so you can see that cross. It's page 5 in your red hymnal. I even remember that. Can't believe it. Don't need to take my whatever it is that I can't remember to take. My memory pill.
Yeah.
Y'all take the memory pill? I don't take it because I can't remember to take it. God bless you and keep you. Let's sing this song.
Please stay.
Page 5. Let's just praise the Lord.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord.